This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Let's, on the back of that, go to Hebrews chapter 4. And even as I'm reading this, I'm hesitant because I actually want to read. I actually need to read chapter 3. But then when I read chapter 3, I actually need to read chapter 2. And then I actually need to read chapter 1. And then I need to read the rest of Hebrews. But you can thank God that I'm not going to do that this morning. But I do want to ask you that if you have time and when you have time, that you really go and study the book of Hebrews. Many people shy away from it. It's most probably after the book of Revelation. It's most probably the book that most Christians sort of shy away from because it's written with so much imagery and there's so much cross references back into the Old Testament that we sometimes get sort of caught up in and we don't understand the book of Hebrews. I've often found that if you have to teach the book of Hebrews in Bible school, it's most probably one of that the lecturers really shy away from. They love James, they love the letters of Paul. But when it comes to the book of Hebrews, it's like it's a heavy book. But I want to encourage you, just because it sounds a little bit heavy, I want to encourage you, read it, because when you read it, you will come to find what it means. Why is chapter 4 important? Why is it important that we understand that Jesus is our high priest? I think sometimes I think we need to understand the greater our understanding of the Old Testament is and how the New Testament is the fulfillment of that which is in the Old Testament. I think our understanding greatly expands because you must agree. Have you ever thought about that you have to share the gospel with someone that has never been exposed to Jesus, that has never been exposed to the Bible, they've never heard of anything? And you come to them and say, well, there's a lamb that was slaughtered for you, you know, and his blood was shed. It's like, what? You know, I don't want that. I want forgiveness, but don't give me the blood stuff. You know, it's like, and Jesus is your high priest. Like, what does that mean? What is a high priest? Is that like the archbishop? But because we don't understand the Old Testament, we sometimes struggle with the imagery that's in the book of Hebrew. But it's really important that we start to understand that. And so I'm not saying that your salvation depends on it, but I want to say to you, the better you understand the Old Testament and how it connects to the New Testament, the easier it will be for you to engage with people that will ask you a lot of questions that you don't need that you don't know the answers to. So I want to encourage you. All of that, just actually wanted to say to you, read Hebrews. I could have said that shorter, couldn't I? Okay. Okay, chapter 4. Can we read at least from chapter 1? From chapter 4, verse 1. At least let's read. Okay, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter the rest, as he has said, as I swore in my rest, they shall not enter my rest. Okay. Although these works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Okay, verse 6. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today. Okay, so when is the appointed day? Today. There has been an historical time where the people of God, some of the people entered the rest. Joshua said there is rest and they did not enter. And God in his wrath said they will not enter my rest. But then there were people that in Christ entered their rest. So there has been historical days before. And there will be days that will become, that will be after this day, that we will be able to enter the rest of God. And in that we rejoice. That no matter what faces us, there is a promise of rest. There is a promise of God that if we access this by faith and in obedience to His word, that God says, you can enter my rest. But then there's this day. Then there is today. And God said for us all, today, there is the promise of rest. How do we enter this rest? By faith. By believing the word of God. By obeying what God says in His word and what God commands us to do. When we do that, we enter that rest through obedience. Because if we cannot enter because of disobedience, then surely obedience grants us access. And remember the word access. God has given you access to grace. That does not mean that all of you will tap into grace. God is already in Christ Jesus, all the grace, all the unmerited favor, everything that we need for life and godliness in Christ Jesus has already been made available for you. And what has God given us? I wish God has given us all the grace that He had. That we will have it as a possession, that we would have it as every day operating in my life, or sort of an upgrade on my ability to live, that God would have given me His ability to be perfect. But what has God given us? He has given us access to enter by faith into the grace. So God requires faith for us to access. Now He's given to each one, the Bible says He's given to each one a measure of faith. He's given to each one a measure of faith so that no one can say, I did not have faith to believe. I did not have faith to obey. I did not have faith to enter in. Because God says, I've given to everyone a measure of faith. That's why when God presents this beautiful gospel that He saved, that He died for us, then He gives us the opportunity to respond and believe. For whoever believes in Him, He has given the power to become children of God. Okay, so let's read further. Since we're therefore it remains... Today if you hear these voices, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, therefore remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his work as God did from his. Okay, let's quickly go on. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest. It's Peter spoke about letting go of what lies behind and stretching ourselves forward for that upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There is this call, and God is asking of us. He's not asking of us to produce rest. He is not asking of us to make our own peace or to find peace in some other things. But He says, I want you to exercise the faith, the belief that you have in me, that you strive to enter into that rest because that rest is there for you. When you strive to enter into that rest, you will enter the rest. But if you don't strive to enter that rest, if you just hang back and hope that the rest will come to you, you are not using your access. It's like having a paid ticket to a rugby game or to an amusement park, and you have the ticket in your pocket and you can go on all the rides, or you go on a cruise where you can go on a boat and you can eat all the food, but you never go. You are in possession of the ticket. You have the ability to access, but we need by faith to access that because God responds to faith. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible. Therefore, when the prophet asked the lady, the widow, what do you have? He doesn't simply produce a miracle. He says, what do you have? He says, I have a little oil. He said, okay, bring that and now go and get as many containers as you can and bring what you have. Elisha asked the widow, what do you have? I have a little flour and some water. I'm going to make this little cake. Make it for me, my son, and then we're going to die. And the prophet says, make me some cakes. And she had to act by faith that will, because he said, if you give it to me, then you will never hunger again. There will be provision. And she had to act by faith. She had to overcome this fear. What if I make it for the prophet and then I die without a cookie? You know, she had to act by faith. Okay. The same sort, let us therefore strive to enter the rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, and joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him, to whom we must give account. Okay, now it's most probably, here's the part that most of us know. Okay, so since then, we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, we all know that scripture, and many of us have many times read that scripture. But do we truly understand what it means that Jesus is our high priest? Do we understand that not only is Jesus our high priest, the high priest, they had to make the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. But Jesus is not only our perfect high priest, but Jesus is also our perfect sacrifice. He is also the perfect lamb. And we need to understand that if we want to enter into that rest, if we understand the finished work of Jesus Christ at the cross, then we will come with confidence to the throne of grace. But if we look at ourselves, we will struggle with confidence. Because if we think that we should come and we should somehow make ourselves a little bit more presentable, we should somehow clean ourselves a little bit so that when we come, that at least we would be received. And we fall into a form of works righteousness where we think that, yes, Jesus died at the cross for my sin, but now it's my job to make sure that I can continuously come. And if we understand that with a human high priest, there was once a year, there was atonement, and then the sin of the people were covered for 1 year, but then they had to reapply. This had to happen again. It was Jesus, and the problem was that the earthly high priest themselves had sin. So they had to make sin offering for themselves and then on behalf of the people. And it wasn't permanent, but in Jesus, in this high priest that was tempted in every way, just like us. I want to ask you, do you really believe that? When you read it, when the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in every way, just like you were, yet without sin. Do you truly believe that when you go through your situation, when you struggle with the things that you're struggling with, do you really think that God knows it because he knows everything? Or do you really believe that Jesus was tempted in that way? Jesus was tempted in that way, yet without sin. And many times people will say, "Yeah, but Jesus was perfect, so he wasn't really tempted." I want to tell you that Jesus was tempted. C.S. Lewis wrote a piece that he says that some people think that Jesus wasn't tempted. But he said, you truly only know what temptation is until you have resisted it to the point of shedding blood. He says most of us are tempted and then we give in to the temptation within 5 minutes. We don't know what that temptation will look after a week. We don't know what that temptation would feel like after year after year after year being tempted in the same way. And when we have been tempted in every way, to every extent, this is our high priest. Not only did he die for us, not only did he make that perfect sacrifice for us, not only did he make a way for us that we can come with confidence, not in our own flesh, not the confidence in what we have done. Not like, okay, I've got to get to God. I haven't connected with God. Okay, so now I've got to go to church like twice. I've got to read my Bible and pray, and then I can go. Because then if God tests me, if God inspects me, my sacrifice, my offering would be accepted. I want to tell you, the offering has already been inspected. The perfect Lamb of God was inspected and found to be perfect for the payment of sin. For all men, for all time. This is our high priest, people. This is, and I want to tell you, I want to ask you, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus right now? What does the Bible say? Not your idea. What does the Bible say? He's at the right hand of the Father. What does he do? He's lived forever to make intercession for us. He's living forever to bring two parties together, to bring us and the Father together. That's his job. And then we have the Holy Spirit that intercedes inside of us according to the will of God. When we don't know what to pray, when we don't know the word to say, this Holy Spirit comes and he makes intercession on our behalf and he brings us together with the Father. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And in all of this, if Jesus is at the throne of grace, where should we go? The throne of grace. I don't want to shatter your idea, but I want to challenge you biblically. Many of us, I go to the foot of the cross. I challenge you to find me one scripture. It speaks about bringing our stuff to the feet of Jesus. But our problem is if we go to the foot of the cross, Jesus is not on the cross. Jesus is at the throne of grace. That's where he is. This is where our high priest is. And not only is our high priest at the throne of grace, our high priest says that because of what I have done, when we come, the Father inspects Jesus. Not you. See, if we continually think, I've got to make right, and I'm not against holiness, but I want to tell you, when you've been in the presence of Jesus, you and you truly have encountered Jesus, he and the Holy Spirit would sanctify you. He would work that holiness in your life. But we are cleansed in the presence of God. We do not cleanse ourselves so that we can go into the presence. That is old covenant theology. Now, we shouldn't go with a bad attitude, and we shouldn't go with a hard attitude that, oh, it's a right for me to sin. I think we should still go in that. I want to tell you that if you're in the presence of God and you would encounter God, the first thing that you would be encountering is a godly sorrow for missing the mark. If you see him. If you see him, as opposed to I'm trying to inspect myself to see where I've fallen short. I want to tell you, you have fallen short in ways that you don't even know. But he knows. And he is the convictor. And he calls us. This is the beauty and the absolute beauty of grace is that he says, come like you are, but you're not going to leave as you are. Come as you are, but if you encounter me, you are not going to leave like you came in. You're going to be leaving better. You're going to be leaving more like me, says Jesus. You're going to look more like me. I'm going to take off filthy garments and I'm going to put rich garments on you. And I'm going to affirm my covenant to you. And I'm going to give you promises. I'm going to give you access. If you go and read Zechariah chapter 3, I'm going to give you access to walk amongst these. But many a time we struggle with this. We struggle to confidently come to the throne of grace. Because we are still guilt-ridden. We still think that we have to work for something that has already been worked for us. Please, I'm not promoting a cheap form of grace. I'm just saying that we need to understand that if it's unmerited, then it should be unmerited. Then we should come as we are, but we never leave as we are. And here's the beauty that God loves you just as you are. But he loves you too much for you to remain like you are. Because his purpose is he wants to work the very image of his son, Jesus Christ, the perfection. He wants to work in you. It's not like he's a fault finder. He just wants what sin has distorted. He wants to redeem and he wants to restore. And he wants to reach for you to reach your predestination. And that is to be conformed to the very image of the Son, Jesus Christ. So I'm not promoting a licentiousness. I'm promoting a bold coming to Jesus so that he can change us. I'm teaching from the Word of God that we have access because we have a high priest. And you might be sitting here this morning and I don't have a clue what you're going through. Maybe you've told me a little bit that maybe it's much larger. I mean, sometimes it's the trouble that we're in is bigger than we think. Who of you have found that sometimes? You think you're in trouble, but then you're in much more trouble. Who's been married? Okay. You find out that you're in much more trouble than you realized. And this is the beauty that God says, come. Come. Come confidently. Not a confidence in our own flesh. Come boldly. That word, confidently or boldly, that's paresia. It's a Greek word that means, that was used in the New Testament time to declare freedom of speech. In other words, that word means, come and say. Come and say what you're going through. Come and tell me. Come and speak up. Be honest. Sometimes we're not honest with God. We think that we need to say, we say the right things that we think God wants to hear. But God says, come. Paresia, come boldly, come, speak. I want to tell you that God is not threatened by your tantrums. He will correct you. He will lovingly correct you. He will take you to His Word, and He will show you a way more excellent, and He will definitely tell you if something, you can be honest, and then He will tell you, it's great that you're honest, but here's the truth. Who of you have found that sometimes you're honest, you're just saying how you feel, but that's not the truth. So it's great to be honest as long as we mix it with truth. To be honest enough and say, God, this is how I feel, but what do you say? So this confidence, I want to ask you this morning, do you really believe that you can come just as you are? Do you believe that when you come just as you are, that the Father will not be rolling His eye and clicking His tongue and say, ah, oh, bad boy, bad boy. Do you truly believe that? Because if there's fear, where there's still a fear of punishment, if we still go and fear, okay, I'm going to be killed now, you don't understand the finished work of Christ. You still somehow think that you have sanitized yourself enough to earn the right to enter. And then it's not about your high priest, but then it's about your offering. So I want to... This is good news, people. I don't know about you, but this is excellent news. This is excellent news. This is excellent news that we can come as we are, but we will never leave as we are if we have really encountered God. Amen? Not a lot of amens, but that's true anyway. Okay. Let's look at another word there. Okay. Since we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Sympathize with our weaknesses. Do you believe that God sympathizes with your weakness? Or do you think that God is slightly disappointed with your weakness? That God is slightly angry about your weaknesses? I want to tell you, if that's your view of God, you will struggle to come. You will inevitably think, I'm not good, so I better make myself a little bit better. Ek met my hempie regtrek met hierdie vuil kolletjie op die t-shirt met ek skoon maak. Who have you found that if you have like a chocolate spot in a white t-shirt, the more you try to clean it, the more you mess it up. And then when you get it clean, then the rest of the shirt looks dirty comparison to the place that, and then you've got a problem because now you've got to wash the whole thing. And we need to understand that the finished work of Christ, the grace of God, it says, come, I'm your high priest. I know what you're going through. I know what you're going through. Come anyway. I want to help you. Okay, so what happens when we come? But He, in every respect, being tempted as we are, yet without sin, let us then with confidence, not in our own work, but the confidence of the finished work of Christ, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now that word receive is a Greek word lambano. It means not only to have possession of something or to have access of something, but it's actually taking possession of something, to lay hold of, to receive something. Okay, if I say this chocolate belongs to Ivan, it is his possession, it's got his name on it, he can decree and prophesy all day, I have a Kit Kat, The Kit Kat is in a red wrapper. He can describe it perfectly. But unless he has taken hold of it, he has not taken possession of it. And that is where the grace of God is, that that access we must receive. We must take hold of it. We must receive what Christ Jesus has paid for us. If he has paid for our sins, then we must receive the forgiveness for that. And how do we do that? How would Ivan take possession of this Kit Kat? This is your Kit Kat. You want to take possession of it? That's good. This is your Kit Kat. Do you want to take possession of it? That's good. This is your Kit Kat. Yes. You see, sometimes we give mental assent to theological concepts. Oh yes, there is a throne of grace. Oh yes, I can come. Oh yes, I can receive. But we never show up. We never show up in prayer. We never show up because we sometimes feel I'm not worthy. Or maybe later, maybe tomorrow, maybe the day after, maybe if I've been better for a while. So we need to take hold of something. It also means you could also receive. There's also, Entas also spoke to you about that different Greek words have different applications in different contexts. That word can also mean that you take hold of something for someone else. Because we not only do we come to this throne of grace, and as we come to the throne of grace, we receive mercy. That is, forgiveness for our sin is mercy. It's a mercy issue. We have messed up. We need the mercy of God. So we find the mercy. We find the, we obtain, we receive the mercy, the forgiveness, but we can also find things for other people. We can also receive. Therefore, if I go and pray to God, I don't only go for myself. If you're a father, you go for your wife and your children. You go for your family. You go for your friends. You go for your brothers and sisters. God, won't you give me something of unmerited worth that I can bless someone else with? This is not my visiting your throne of grace. It's not just about me. I understand that I am part of your people and you want to bless your people through me. So when we come, we only don't only come for ourselves. Now we become the beneficiaries when we appear before God because he cleanses us. He forgives us. And then he gives us, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Now, that receiving can be violently or it can be gently. And, you know, sometimes we struggle to receive from God the mercy that we have because we're so distracted. We're not focused. If I took that same chocolate and hid it amongst a couple of items here and ask Ivan, do you want a chocolate that is yours? And he would say yes. I said, come and get it. Then he will have to focus through a lot of stuff to find his chocolate. If he's like going in and say, chocolate, oh, olive oil, oh, that's great, peppermints, water. And sometimes we are like that. We are not focused. We are not intentional when we go to the throne of grace, and therefore we struggle to lay hold of that which God has given us because we feel we're not worthy, we're distracted, we're unfocused, or we only have theological or cognitive assent to a theological principle. But I want to tell to you that the throne of, I want to ask you this, do you believe the throne of grace is real? You have to sort that out, because if you don't think it's really real, you won't go. Because how will you get there? If you don't believe it's a real place in the Spirit, how will you get it? How will you truly by faith, not by what your eyes and your emotions and your feelings can dictate to you, but by faith we enter. By faith you have access to this throne of grace. Let's go to and find grace. It's the word erisko. It means to find after a search. And once again, you can search for yourself, but you can also search for others. And it's the word that we, when a scientist has worked long hours and did a lot of stuff, and all of a sudden, he makes the discovery that he's been looking for, and he shouts, Eureka, I found it! That is what happens. That is that word, Eureka, when it says, when we are at the throne of grace, not only do we receive or take hold of the mercy of God, but we also find the grace. We find the grace that enables us to do what we cannot do by ourselves. And we sometimes wish that we will just by walking receive grace. But God says, no, I've given you access. What are you doing with your access? What is stopping you from coming? Are you afraid? Are you afraid that I will punish you? Because if there's, the Word of God says, if there's still fear of punishment, love has not been perfected. Then you truly don't understand how much God loves you. He's not trapping you into a condemnation cycle. He's not trapping you and say, come, nothing's going to happen. Then he slapped you around when you do. I want to tell you, this Father, through the finished work of Jesus Christ, is truly asking us, inviting us. Say, come. Therefore, because of what Jesus did, go and read. I really want to ask you to read the whole of Hebrews, because we have piecemeal readings. We read Hebrews chapter 12 about the witness cloud, and we read Hebrews 11 that we call the hall of the heroes of faith, and then we read Hebrews 3 when we want to come to foundational doctrine. I really want to ask you, go and read the whole of Hebrews, and you will find this beautiful story, and you won't understand. I'm struggling with some of the concepts. I want to tell you that I've really got to, if I get stuck in one verse in two words, then I can stay in Hebrews for a long time. But when I just read what the writer of the Hebrews, we see this beautiful picture of what was done in the Old Covenant, and what was the consequence of the Old Covenant, and what is the consequence of the New Covenant. How the Levitical priesthood is no more, but there's a Melchizedek priesthood. Who of you have read about the Melchizedek priesthood and wondered, what the heck is that? I mean, some of the people don't even, is it Melchizedek? Is it Melchizedek? What is that? But you know, he's mentioned in Genesis. So go and read. Because we need, remember, Scripture interprets Scripture. So many of the stuff that was quoted as Scripture in the New Testament was done before we had the physical Bible like we know it now. So they were referring to Scripture out of the Old Testament. They got it from there, and they understood it. So I want to encourage you to go and do that. And okay, and then the last one, to find mercy and help in our time of need. Now there's boethia. It means to help. It means to help someone in his or her need. But actually it was a military term. And it paints the picture. If you are engaged in battle, say for instance, Stefan, I need you as a soldier. Okay. If Stefan and I are engaged in battle together against an enemy, and I would be caught up in battle, and I would be in life danger, and I would be trapped to the point that I might die now, and I say, Stefan, I would say, Boethia, it means come help me now. It's not, you know, think about it. It's come help me now. So, thank you. Thank you for coming to my rescue. Okay. So this is what, when we come to God, He is our helper. He is the strong warrior. He is the invincible. He is the captain of the Lord of hosts. That when we come to Him and we say, Boethia, God help me, I'm in my time of need. What does He do? He rushes to our defense. He rushes to our help. He's not, but as long as we're not calling out, as long as we're not humbling ourselves and thinking, I can still do this. As long as there's that kind of attitude, I can still do this. I can still solve this problem. I can still do this on my own. I can still cleanse myself. I can still clean up my mess. I can still do. That's not boethia. That's not God. And that's the humility also that the Enter spoke about, is to realize that we need help. And it's okay. The Afrikaner thing, ek frek voor ek vra. That's why some of you are freaking. We can't ask. It's a sign of weakness. Yes, you are. You are, in the scheme of things, you are helpless. And the quicker we come to the throne of grace and say, help! I need help, God. I cannot do this. God, I've messed up. I cannot clean up this mess. God, I need to do this. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Boethia, come and help me, God. And we don't experience, huh? Now's the time to come. Where have been you? I've been waiting for you like 4 weeks. Where have you been? No. He sympathizes with your weakness. He sympathizes. God is not irritated by your weaknesses. Get this into your mind. God is not irritated by the stuff that you're struggling with. He desperately wants to help you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you like a father that wants to help their children in time of need. I don't know about you. The first thing I want to do if my children are in trouble, I want to get in my car and I want to rush to their aid. Even if I don't know what I'm going to do, I'm just going to be there. But I'm going to do myself harm to help them. I want to ask you this morning, do you believe that there is a throne of grace? Do you believe that Jesus paid the price? Do you believe that the price is enough for you? It's enough for you. Now, he's still busy perfecting his work. We are his workmanship, a continuing workmanship. But I want to tell you that he loves you and he wants to work. He wants to work. He wants to help you. He wants to give you mercy. He wants to be merciful to you. He wants to be gracious to you. And he doesn't want you to try and earn it. Because as long as we're trying to earn it, we still somehow think that we can do it on our own. If we can just prove. And then we have beautiful sayings that are so unbiblical that it says, "Die Here help die wat hulle self help." Who of you have heard that? I mean, no. The Lord helps those that realize that they don't. That they can't help themselves. As long as I still think that I can earn my salvation or earn my access, then I don't understand. The Lord helps those that need help. And say, help. That's why some of the most powerful prayer that I've prayed is in times that I didn't know what to say. And this was my prayer. Help, God. Oh, but Jan, you should have said something else. You should have said, hallowed be your name. You should have prepped God, you know. It's like you should have prepped him a little bit. And, you know, I could smell my children from a mile off. Oh, Dad, how are you today? Okay, what do you want to say? And sometimes I'm not really upset that they ask me something. I'm more upset that they thought that they had to butter me up. You can just come. You can just come as you are. I love you. I love you. I might not be pleased with everything that you do, but I love you. That doesn't change my love for you. In fact, when I want to tell you the times that I've been felt the closest to my children is when they've messed up. That I could just be there and bite my tongue and not say, I told you so, if you would have just listened, but to say, my son, my daughter, it breaks my heart to see you so broken, but I forgive you. And come before God. Let's go to the throne of grace. And say, God, I messed up. God, I messed up. And not God's not going to give you 4 Hail Marys and 2 packets of chips that you have to buy. Not give you a lot of stuff that you need to do. He says, my son, my daughter, I forgive you. Now come. Come, let me help you not to do that again. Let me show you how to work, to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Listen to my conviction before you sin. Not only after you've sinned. Come, I'll help you. I want to ask you, is that your view of God? And this beautiful grace that enters in Christian, and this beautiful power of the Spirit of Christ that is within us, is available to us. I'm asking you this morning, are you using your access? Are you using every single day the access that you have into this grace? And as you go for grace, God deals with mercy as well. God deals with mercy. Mercy when you've messed up. And grace to enable you. So I want to ask you not to go to the foot of the cross. I want you to go at least to the feet of Jesus. And he's in the throne room. You can go as a historical remember that Jesus, remember when we come, it says because he is our high priest, then we remember the cross. We remember what Jesus did at the cross, and we value, absolutely value our salvation. We absolutely thank him for what he accomplished at the cross, because I think he accomplished much more than you think and what I think. He accomplished much more at the cross. But at least I come and say, oh, thank you, high priest. Thank you that you died for me, that you rose for me, that you ascended, and you are now the high priest. You are forever my high priest. I don't have to have another intermediary. I don't need a pastor. I don't need someone else. I can just come straight to Jesus. And I can come confidently because I've got confidence in what he did. I've got absolutely no confidence in my own flesh. I've got absolute confidence in the finished work of Jesus, what he accomplished for me. And as I come, expecting to be scolded, to be told how bad I am, I get cleansed of my sin. I get filled with sorrow for sin as I see him as he is. And I say, woe is to me. And I'm convicted, filled with godly sorrow. And he immediately, when he sees that heartfelt repentance, says, take away that filthy garments. Put on rich garments. Why are you here? God, I'm coming for myself, but I'm actually coming for my child. I'm coming for my friend. I'm coming for my sister. I'm coming for that person that's struggling with cancer, God. Won't you give me a grace gift of healing that I can take to that person? Won't you give me a word of prophecy that this person whose life is falling into pieces and they don't know where they're going, won't you just give me a grace gift? Won't you divinely enable me to be a blessing to build other people up? God, won't you grace me? I want to obtain that grace. I want to lay hold of it. I don't want to just think about the gifts. I want to operate in them. And I'm not chasing after the gifts. I'm chasing after the grace of God because I need it. Because I've been saved by grace, and I can only grow by grace, and I can only be perfected by grace, and I can only be glorified by the grace of God. It's not I've been saved by grace and now it's hard work and white knuckle until Jesus comes and hope I make it. If we understand the love of God, this we would be found often at the throne of grace, not just once daily. I want to venture that I would find myself, if I really concentrate and meditate upon this, I would find myself, oh, it's Jan again, he's here again. And we would become familiar faces at the throne of grace because we are willing to say, God, I cannot. Even my best works is like filthy rags to you. My best efforts, God, if it's not by grace, if it's not by faith, then it is sin. My best efforts, God, my best attempts means nothing. If I don't come in humility, say, God, I need you. I'm weak, God. Without you, I can do nothing. I don't want to do anything, God. My question to you this morning and my question to you. Do you believe, my questions to you, do you believe that there is a throne of grace, or do you think it's some metaphorical, theological, philosophical concept? Or do you truly believe that Jesus, the Son of God, has risen, he has ascended through the heavens, and has been placed as the ruler over everything, over every principality and power, and he's been given to be the head of the church. And he sits there, and over that he rules and reigns, and he's given us his Holy Spirit to be the helper. And he's given us access to the throne of grace. He's given us access to the throne of grace. Do you believe that? That you have access? Somebody said, but at least, Jan, you have to do something. I said, can you please draw up the list? Can you please draw up the list of the least requirements that you have to do to fulfill, to earn coming before the throne of grace? Can you make the list? Because I want to tell you that as soon as you start, you're going to populate the list if you think about yourself. But if you fix your eyes upon Jesus, you know he is the author and he is the finisher of your faith. And he says, come. I'm your high priest. I'm the Son of God. I am God. I'm at the right hand of the Father. Come. I paid the price for you. Come. But God, I still come. God. I'm with confidence, but I don't have confidence, God. I'm afraid, I'm guilt-ridden, I think I should be doing. I said, come. I've done the work that you can come. And then he says, not only are you going to come and maybe leave disappointed, you're going to come, and as you come, I'm going to take away your sin. I'm going to be merciful. Lay hold of that forgiveness. Take it as your own and believe that God has forgiven you. How oftentimes we ask for forgiveness and punish ourselves for 2 weeks just to show God that I'm sorry enough. That we can believe that God says, if you repent, if you turn away from sin, if you turn to me, there's godly sorrow in your heart, then godly sorrow will lead to repentance that will lead to life. And God restores the Christ life in you. That life that seems to seep out as life happens and you come and he pours that life into you again. And he says, come, my son, find the grace. Find the grace. Eureka! I found it. And it's in my time of need. When is it your time of need? Every day. 24/7. The quicker we realize it, the quicker we'll come. As long as we still do think, I can do this, 2 extra Bible studies, we'll do it. A worship CD in my car, we'll do it. A little bit more home cell attendance, we'll do it. Then I'll come. I want to tell you, you're working for your salvation. Now, when you've come to the throne of grace, and I'm finishing off with this, when you come to the throne of grace, I want to tell you one thing's going to happen, or a couple of things are going to happen. You're going to fall in love with the Word of God. You're going to fall in love with the Word of God. You're going to fall in love with God. In other words, prayer is not going to be some duty, but it's so much my privilege. Thank you, God. Intimate relationship that Dion spoke about just before the meeting in our little prayer meeting. He says, intimacy with God. I want to tell you, if you're face to face with God and you look into the eyes of living love, I want to tell you that you're going to feel what it's really to be loved. You're going to experience what it's really, really to be loved. You're going to want to spend time with God. You want to spend more time there than out here. But most God will probably must tell you, come, go and give that grace. Go and roll out that grace. Go and spend it. Go and spend this love. Go and give it to others. This grace that I've given you, go and give it to someone. This love that you receive, go and give it to something. This forgiveness that you receive, go and forgive that person that you struggle to forgive. Come, go and use up. Oh, but I want to spare it, you know. No, no, come again. When? Today, later. We somehow tend, and that's once again, is that Afrikaner mentality. Ek is nog gisterdag gewees, kan ek nou weer gaan? Ach nee, iemand anders het dit meer nodig as ek. It's like, as if there's a queue. As if Stefan goes, then there's not enough left for me. As if God will expend his mercy and grace and say, will you come back tomorrow? I'm all run out. Maar was jy nie net maar hier nie? Yes, God. And I realized I need more of this, God. I need this. I need your grace. So I want to encourage you this morning. Access the throne of grace. Access the throne of grace. Access the throne of grace. Sometimes we don't want to go to a party. We've been invited to a feast, to a dinner, and then we have access, and they think, maar ek het hier die regte klere nie. Ek lyk nie soos die ander mense nie. Ek het nie so 'n cool kar met by die danee op, en dan parkeer ek my vuil skedonk aan die ander kant, en ek stap nader, en ek pretend dat ek eindelijk hier hoort. And sometimes we do that with God. We look at other people and say, you know, Jaco's like a real man of God. You know, he goes, Jaco, help my bikkie. Hoe doen jy dit? You have access. You have access. And because you've been given access, you are welcome. You are welcome at the throne of grace. You are welcome. Say to the person, I know the person next to you is a horrible sinner. But I want to tell them, you are welcome at the throne of grace. No, no, you're not a horrible sinner. You are a saint that sometimes sin a lot. But know this, that you are welcome at the throne of grace. Prophesy that to the person next to you. Because this is truth. You are welcome at the throne of grace. So this beautiful, I want to encourage you to go and listen to the sermons that Christian and Peter and Hentas has preached on the subject and different nuances to that. And put this together and know this is your source. And you are welcome. You have access to everything that you need for life and godliness. You have everything. You have access to everything in the name of Jesus. Can we stand this morning, please? We're going to close off, but I really feel that I want to pray for people that feel I'm not welcome. For somehow you've believed a lie of the enemy. Maybe you've heard some teaching that you need to do something to appear before the throne of grace. I really want to pray for you. If you struggle to come with confidence, if you struggle with confidence, if you come to the throne of grace, but it's groveling, you know, it's like you promising God, how much harder you're going to try next time. God, this time I messed up, but watch me from this moment, God. I'm going to give it my best. And you think that by saying that, you're more welcome than when you just say, God, I messed up again. I messed up again. I messed up again. And then we think, ja, maar Jan, dis mos reg so. Dis, jy kan nie sommer net weer kom as jy nog gesondig het. Jesus said to Peter, when Peter asked him, how many times should I forgive my brother if he has sinned against me? He said, well, I suppose about 7 times. And God said, no, no, no. Try 70 times 7 in one day. Maybe that'll ask you, maybe that will answer your question. But I've messed up again, God. How can I come now with boldness? Because there's forgiveness. There's forgiveness for you. There's a place for you to receive this beautiful grace that you've heard Peter and Hentas and Christian preach about so eloquently from his word. The power of the Holy Spirit to say, come, I'll go with you. I'm your helper. Come, I'll remind you of what Christ did. Come, come. Holy Spirit, take me. Lead me. Lead me to the throne of grace. If you're struggling with that this morning, I really want to pray for you. For the rest of you, we're going to pray a short prayer and then we're going to release you to go have some fellowship with one another, have some coffee. But for those that really struggle with this, that, man, I'm not worthy. I've messed up so badly. You're in good company if you messed up badly. Jesus said, I came for the sick ones. I didn't come for those that are healthy. I came for the sick ones. I came for the messed up ones. I've come for you. But God, I didn't deserve it. Yes, you don't. But I love you anyway. Come. Oops, I did it again. Don't worry about Britney Spears. Come again. Come again. Come again and again and again. I'm committed to this work that I've started in you. In time, I'm going to make you just like I am. But you've got to come regularly. Come. Come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you now you're just inviting people to come to your throne of grace. You're not coming to Jan. You're not coming to some anointing. You're coming to the throne of grace. You're coming to the throne of grace. You're coming to Jesus. You're coming to the one who loved you. You're coming to your high priest. You're coming to the one that paid the price for what you're carrying with you. You're coming to Him. Maybe you're here this morning and you're trusting God for a family member or for a friend. And maybe you don't want to come for yourself this morning, but you want to come for a family member, for a friend, maybe someone that's sick. And you want to ask God for grace, for the grace gift of healing. Maybe you know someone that needs a miracle. Maybe if you're that person, come and ask God for the grace. We can't do it. We can't promise you anything, but I can tell you that we can come to a place where everything is possible. Where everything is possible. Father, I pray that as they are right in front of you now, for your throne of grace, by faith, they're using their access. Say, God, by faith, Jesus, you are my access. I'm lifting up Jesus as my access. Not living up my own my own life. I'm lifting up the life of Jesus to you. Here's my access. I'm coming. And I'm desperate for your mercy, God. I'm desperate that you would forgive me where I messed up. And I'm desperate for your divine enablement. I need your favor, God. I need your enablement to live this life, God. To do what you want me to do. To be what you want me to be. To become what you predestined me to become. I need you. I'm weak, God. I cannot do this by myself. I humble myself. I humbly come and say, I can't. And I'm not afraid to do it in front of my brothers and sisters because I can't. But you can. Help Jesus. Help Jesus. Boethia. Thank you, Jesus. Father, right now, just meet them where they are at your throne of grace. They don't need now for someone to lay hands on them or someone to pray a special prayer. Holy Spirit, I pray that you yourself would minister to them. Just allow the Holy Spirit, just open your heart and allow the Holy Spirit to give you faith. Allow the Holy Spirit to convince and convict you of his love for you. I thank you for your finished work at the cross. I remember the cross. But I also remember that you are resurrected and you are ascended. And you went through the heavens. You made this possible right here, right now, that I can come to lay hold of that mercy. To find that grace for my time of need. Father, as you give grace to the humble, something that Entas prayed earlier. God, you give grace to the humble. For those that are humble enough to say, God, I need you. I need you, God. I don't care what other people think. I'm going to stand here and say, I need you, God. To those, it is God that God gives grace. Receive His grace. Receive His mercy. Receive what the Holy Spirit wants to give you now. Receive the grace gifts. Receive. I want to ask you this morning, take that step of faith and believe that God wants to use you to bless someone else. God doesn't really need you, but He wants you. He wants you. If you want to still remain in front, you're more than welcome to do so for the rest of you. If you need to go, you're free to go. Thank you for coming this morning and thank you for bearing.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.